Welcome to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is the March 28th, 2026, Saturday. Podcasts will be archived on the thispresenttruth.com site. thispresenttruth.com site. On the site, there are the This Present Truth programs. Also, you have the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs, both on the site. You can go to either of the two, listen to the programs on each site. The Olive Tree site is more for the Christian community, whereas The Olive Tree site is for the Christian community. The Present Truth site is for both the non-believer and believer. The non-believers, they want to know what the Bible says about the time in which we live. They want to know about the end times, the time prior to Christ's return. They want to know what is in the book of Revelation, the prophecies of the prophets of Israel, Christ's teachings on the end time, and what the apostles have to say about the time in which we live. So I use on this Present Truth site, I use the events, current events, things that are happening in our society internationally, and then I use the scripture so that we can identify the events with prophetic or prophecies, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament. But on this Olive Tree site, I get into the time in which we live, and I get into doctrine, theology, eschatology. I also get into the teachings of Christ, which would be the doctrines. We are unique because we are born again. The Christian people, you can call yourself Christian. If you're not born again, you are nominal Christian, in name only. Like I can say that I am European, though I was born in the United States. I've never been to Europe. But I can say that I'm European because I like the British. I like the Germans. I don't like the evil, but I could say I'm European, but I'm not. In name only. In practice and in reality, I'm not European. I'm 100% American. If you are and you identify with Christianity and with Christ Himself, you must be born again. So my programs are to the body of Christ to help the body of Christ know the teachings of Christ and to grow in understanding, in the knowledge of the Christian walk, but to grow spiritually in your conduct, in your knowledge of who God is, the Godhead, the plan of God for all of mankind through time, and the Gentile people, the Jewish elect, and the body of Christ, those who are born again that are Jew and Gentile. There's a 2,000-year period of time where mankind, Jewish and Gentile, will have Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit indwelling, living within them. We are in that time. This time is about to expire. There will be a day shortly, in the years to come, where the last individual that will ever receive Yeshua Jesus as the Holy Spirit upon that individual meeting Christ, there will never again, throughout that period, from that following that time, that instant into the future, never again will a human being ever be born again. We are in the final years before Christ returns. I have been, Matthew chapter 24 is the most intricate, detailed story of end time prophecy, especially in the last, let's say, 100 years. And it narrows it down to the time when Israel became a nation. You could say it began when the British, at the end of the 1800s, an individual by the name of Theodor Herzl, in the late 1800s, began to wrote plays in Europe about anti-Semitism, warning the Jewish people in Europe, and also presenting through his operas that eventually the Jewish people would have to leave the area. So you could say it began to move there, then into the times when the British decided to begin to allow immigration of Jewish people back into the Middle East, the Arab people, the tribes in the Middle East at that time were beginning to, there was a change happening with them from being nomads to eventually becoming more of an international, involved internationally with European countries. Eventually they would develop the oil fields, and we have the Middle East in its present state. Matthew 24, Christ answered the question of the disciples, tell us, when will these things be, meaning the destruction of the temple, which happened in AD 70, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the world, the end of the age? And then Christ begins to expound right away about our time. And then Israel becoming a nation once again. In Matthew 24, verse 4, he begins to explain to them what will happen in the time in which we live. They didn't see it. They knew the temple would be destroyed. They knew they would not be alive when he returned. But Christ explained to them our time. Israel once again would become a nation in Ezekiel chapter 37. And the great powers presented in the book of Revelation would begin to rise. The great power, Babylon the Great, which there is now is the time where many of the pastors who are now retiring, who don't have to address the matter of the United States, because now they've retired, they are retiring, whether through they're dying, they're old, they're going to be with the Lord, or they are just too old, they cannot continue their ministries, or they're being exposed for who they are, and they are in disgrace, leaving the leadership. There's a new group who the younger people have realized the United States is in the Bible. Chapter 17 of Revelation is speaking of the United States of America. Chapter 18 is the United States of America. I can go back to the Old Testament and bring up Jeremiah chapter 51. there would be a nation that would God would use as the hammer of the whole earth. And the hammer, a nation ruled by an evil prince of darkness, you might say, would be used by God to punish godless nations. Eventually, in Revelation 17, God would use the individual mentioned in the final verses of the chapter, along with 10 powers, 10 kings, to destroy this great, a great end-time superpower, evil, decadent, God-hating nation. The trajectory of the United States, spiritually speaking, has been moving through the decades toward godlessness. The Christian people are beginning to, now they have the experience of the culture, and they're realizing the culture is hostile to Israel, to the Christian people. It embraces evil, the occult, Islam, all the other false religions. It can't be denied any longer. And I have gone through the verses from verse 4 to verse 8 and verse 9. Now, I'm going to continue with verse 8 and 9, because verse 8 and 9 are like a chasm. In verse 8, we Christian people in the world, prophetically speaking, are in a time of birth pains and sorrows, of hardship, of anguish, which is we can adjust. It's difficult. But then, at the end of verse 8, it says that it would be anguish in a time of unprecedented trouble. Are we there? But it's not tribulation yet. The children of Israel, for an example, they were in Egypt. And there came a time where they were forced out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness through a wall of water. And that's where they would reside for the following 40 years. At the end of the 40 years, they would once again, there would be a time where, a defining time, they would leave the wilderness for good. No one could stay. There wasn't anything there. The miracles that God had provided for them for 40 years ended. They were forced. They didn't have a choice. They were forced to adjust. And they had to cross the Jordan River. The wilderness as a type would be Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. It is a time where we have been, the American church, evangelical church, along with the others, have been in a time of prosperity, a time where growth has been through teaching, through having a, for the most part, most of the body of Christ has been having a light experience with Christ. It has not been a deep experience. It has been an on-off relationship. When times were hard in the past 40, 50 years, the Christian people would turn to the Lord. Once the Lord would get them out of their distress, they would go back into lounging in the world and being comfortable in the world, but never following the thought that the Christian life was daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, through each decade, to the time where they would be with the Lord. It was a time of growth. It's just like wheat being planted in a field. It grows until the end of the season. And then the rain stops, the heat comes, and forces the kernels to maturity. They're green, and they dry out. Then there's the harvest. They've matured. They didn't leave their position in the field. We people, we believers, we move when there's difficulty. We sidestep, we get out of the way, we don't remain where we need to be in these times where Christ is teaching us a lesson. So what does he have to do? Return, put us back in the situation till we learn the lesson, then we go forward. With verse 8 and verse 9, right now we are about to leave the experiences in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, the time of sorrows, birth pains, anguish, troubles, unprecedented trouble. The threat now that in the future, according to your license plate on your vehicle, if you're odd, your plate the ends in an odd number, you can drive on odd days. If it's on an even number, you drive on even days. I'd heard today, you may not even be able to drive on Sunday unless you're going to work. It is troubling times. In this time of birth pains and sorrows, there are many things that have to happen. One thing is the prophecy in Psalm 83 has to finish. It is a prophecy of the Gaza War, a regional war, not just along the Mediterranean. It is a prophecy of a war in the Mediterranean, along the Mediterranean, in the land of the ancient Philistines, Lebanon to the north along the shore, Syria to the east, the northern part of Israel, with its center being Damascus. Then the psalm talks about the three, Moab and Edom, the two brothers, Ammon and Moab, who were the sons of Lot, and then Jacob's twin brother, Esau, at the southern part of the desert. That war is not yet complete. It hasn't finished. It's not completed. It has to be completed before the tribulation. Israel will occupy, it will become the real estate. The nation of Jordan will become the real estate of Israel. Lebanon, to a great degree, and part of Syria will also become part of Israel. The people that don't know prophecy, Christians included, will look at the progressive war and the expansion of Israel as genocide. It is not genocide. It is punishment on ancient families and ancient enemies. It's punishment. God never forgets. He promised through Amos, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and other prophets, there would come a time in the far future where God would remember the evil deeds, death, hardship, that these families and nations had afflicted the children of Israel through their wanderings, when they were in the land, when they were out of the land. God never forgot. He can't forget. There would be a time when they would be punished. It would be a punishment that would be a collective punishment. with Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and the area along the Mediterranean coast. It would be a punishment of Arab relatives of Esau who'd married the daughters of Ammon and Moab. They had married Philistines. Ishmael would also be involved, the western portion of Saudi Arabia. There would be some punishment to the people in the area of Yemen. These would be the children of Abraham through his third wife, Keturah. And there would be some military operations there also. So a little bit of the war would extend into even partially into Iraq. The war isn't concluded. The king of Israel that was placed by the Lord for those that hate Benjamin Netanyahu, for the anti-Semitic Christians who have turned their back on the elect children of God, be careful. Be very careful. You were a branch grafted in, and they can be grafted in, and you can be a branch cut off. There will be many Christian evangelical ministers that are going to be cut off, are going to be punished because of their anti-Semitic belief that Israel is committing genocide, when Psalm 83 clearly explains that God, there, the prayer of Asaph, the prophet, is that God would protect these children in our day, October 7th, 2023, that they would be protected from, number one, those who would try to commit genocide and remove the Jewish people through death out of the Middle East. It doesn't stop there. It says also that all remembrance of Israel, that they would completely erase the remembrance of Israel, going all the way back to a term used, ethnic cleansing. I'll read it to you in Psalm 83, verse 4. Asaph says, verse 4 again, they have said, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. That is genocide. So who's committing genocide? Who has the intention to commit genocide? It's not Israel. It's the extreme jihadists throughout the region. Let us wipe them out as a nation. Then it says, part B, let the name of Israel be remembered no more. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. Eliminate and wipe out all of the history of Israel from the present time, going all the way back to the time of Christ, the lineages through the time of King David, from David all the way back to the Exodus out of Egypt, then through the wilderness and the exile in Egypt, all the way back to Abraham coming out of the Ur of the Chaldees. This is ethnic cleansing. So for the Christians and the ministries and the podcasters that use this rant that it's genocide, it's ethnic cleansing, they need to quit listening to the demonic mainstream media. They need to read the Bible and see what the scripture says. Now, going back to Matthew 24, verse 8 and 9, that is basically the Jordan River. It is a time from the period before tribulation to the day when tribulation begins. It will happen. The tribulation begins with the signing of an agreement between some of the political powers in Israel and a future king from a distant nation, which is the United States. And the agreement in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 to 18, I think it's verse 18, says that God will annul their treaty with death and the underworld, death and Gehenna. So God is going to, so when they sign the agreement, on the first day, when that agreement is signed on the first day of the tribulation, the beginning of the 70th week, which now even many pastors, many in the religious world are saying, well, there's no 70th week, it's misunderstood, there's no tribulation, it's already occurred. No, it hasn't occurred. Armageddon has never taken place. It's in the future. On that day, there will be an agreement signed between the king of Babylon and the nation of Israel. I'm not so sure it's going to be Benjamin Netanyahu. If it is, I don't know. Once it is signed, it is called the Treaty with Death and Hell. It is the signature. It is the, what do they call it when dignitaries get together, when the world leaders get together? It would be like Donald Trump gathering to sign a bill. It will be the session or meeting when an agreement is signed. That second the agreement is signed, the seven-year tribulation begins. Now, it is the day where in the book of Matthew, in the Amplified Version, it says that, verse 9, then, when that agreement is signed, the underworld, the forces of darkness, the spirits, the like Michael Heiser would refer to it as, it would be the beginning where the unseen world begins its attack on the Christian churches, the Christian people internationally. It will be, the attacks will precede that exact day, but they will intensify. Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation. The Amplified Version, verse 9. Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation and will put you in, and will put you to death. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me and will fall away from the one who they should trust and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will appear and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. Basically, compassion will end. But the one who endures and bears up under the suffering to the end will be saved. And grow, the growth will have been completed, their maturity, so they will have great honor, and they will have, they will rule and reign in the kingdom of heaven, and then they will be in eternity. But the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end of the age will come. Then in verse 15, the great tribulation begins, but I'm going to go back to chapter 8. I'm sorry, to verse 8. Okay. Again, verse 8. We are still in the time of birth pains and sorrows. And in this time in which we live, there are many things that are going to happen. Other prophetic events will occur. The Psalm 83 war will be concluded. At the conclusion of that war, the real estate of present-day Jordan will become the real estate of the nation of Israel. The Damascus War in Isaiah chapter 17, the city of Damascus will be destroyed. And at the same time, there will begin the punishment of the Jewish people that are apostate. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1, the oracle of Damascus. See, Damascus will cease from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down. No one shall make them afraid. The fortresses also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Aram. They shall be as the glory of the sons of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. In that day, the glory of Jacob shall decrease, and the fatness of the flesh shall grow lean. It shall be as when the harvestman gathers the corn and reaps the ears with his arm. It shall be as he who gathers ears in the valley of Rephaim. I'll stop there. So it is at the end of the time of sorrows and birth pains, right at the beginning of the time of tribulation. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, it begins out talking about the... I'll just read it briefly. It begins, "Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower." Just basically in line with what Isaiah is saying. Isaiah in chapter 17, which is the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine. "See, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty overflowing rivers, waters. He will cast it down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim is trodden underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley, shall be like the first ripe fig before the summer, which when one sees, while it is yet in his hand, he eats it up. It is devoured." So the destruction of Damascus and the beginning of the chastising of God on the Jewish elect who are apostate, even though of all the victories that they get, they will not remember the victories, and they will continue to live in their natural way, in the natural pattern of the lives they have lived in. God is coming to chastise the nations, to bring judgment on the nations who get judged last, upon Israel as his chosen people, and they hate that. They still nevertheless have to mature, and upon the body of Christ, upon the ecclesia of God, all of the born again people, Jewish and Gentile, who are born again. God is a God who makes it evident throughout all of nature. Every seed that is planted has to be allowed to grow, or should be allowed to grow to maturity. It is the principle of life. It is the principle of growth, a principle of maturity. In the body of Christ, the maturity is the display of who Messiah is to the world through his people, who this Yeshua, the King of the Jews, is to his elect, the Jewish people. The best way to represent Messiah to the Jewish people is through the Jewish people who are born again, that are maturing, that are, like it says in the Song of Songs, there is a field, and in the field is a field of spices. And these spices are in that field, cinnamon, and they're, in the Song of Psalms, it talks about the garden. And yes, Israel is that garden. And in type, we in the body of Christ are also a garden, but in a different way, a more powerful way, so to speak, because we have the Messiah within as a life-giving spirit. Well, it says that this garden, all of the fragrances, all of the herbs, all of these wonderful herbs that can be made into these precious ointments, valuable, something has to happen to them. And it says, blow, O north wind, blow. In the fall, for these spices to mature and to release their fragrance, God would allow the north wind, which was cool or cold, and it would shock the garden. And by shocking the garden, the fragrances would be released. This is God's plan for the Israel. Within Israel, there are those that have been faithful to God through their Torah, through their teachings, through the rabbis that are holy, and they are protected by God in Revelation chapter 7. All of the 12 tribes, with 12,000 from each tribe, must be protected. They will be protected for the Christians and the those that don't understand God's plan with Israel. Jesus himself, Christ himself, conveyed to John in chapter 7, this is what I think of my Israel. I am going to protect 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, from Antichrist, from the religious world that will come once again into Israel, a religiousness, a Sanhedrin, a religious, just like at the time of Christ, the same type of spirit that killed Christ, will once again be part of the Israeli culture. You can't travel on Sunday. You can't travel. It's just going to be a shutdown. God has to protect this group from all of the enemies that put Christ on the cross, from the governments without, the government within Israel, its own government, and the religious society within Israel, and the people of the country. They must be protected. So God gives them a place to hide, to shelter, to be protected, where the spirits, the demons, the fallen angels cannot attack them. They will be left alone. This is what Christ says about the Jewish people. Then Revelation chapter 12, the dragon goes out to make war, eventually with the saints, Christians, but before that, he's trying to destroy Israel. The woman is Israel. The woman is not the body of Christ. But there's a red dragon in verse 3, part 2, part B. There was a giant red dragon with seven heads and seven crowns and 10 horns. I have a translation that's real wordy. Hold on. And there was a people who is going to give birth to a son, meaning Christ. He would be the man who would rule all the nations of the world with strong authority. Then someone took her child away. He went up to God and he was thrown. The woman ran away into the wilderness where God has prepared a special place to keep her safe for 3.5 years. That's during the time of the final 3.5-year tribulation, the Great Tribulation. And that place will be present-day Jordan, the land of many of you who have studied prophecy, Petra, the area of Petra, the land of Petra, present-day Jordan. For 3.5 years, she will be carried to Petra to be shielded from the dragon and his armies. Then, at the end of that period, then the Antichrist will send his armies and will have a plan to go into Petra to find and hunt down the Jewish people who are living there and destroy them. God will destroy them first. So that's what God thinks of the Jewish elect. So Psalm 83 must end. Jordan must become the property of Israel. Damascus must be destroyed. When that is finished in that region, then the scene will be set for a greater war, which is in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. It will be a war with Russia, and I do believe Ukraine will be somehow involved. Below Ukraine, the nation of Turkey, above Iran, there will be, first nation above Iran will be Armenia, and I believe Azerbaijan, and the ancient nation of Persia, which is Iran. Israel is not going to take Iran out right now. It won't happen. They'll provoke Iran. They'll take out many of the military weapons that Iran has, because if Iran were to come to the Ezekiel war with all the weaponry that she's been expending, Israel would not have a chance. With the arsenal that she's depleted already, with what would come with Armenia, Azerbaijan, Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, along with the nations in North Africa, to the west of Egypt, Libya, below Egypt, Ethiopia, and also some translations say Somalia. All of that hardware, all of that ammo, all of those weapons, Israel would not stand a chance. So there, some of the weaponry is being depleted presently. And Iran and Israel is running out of weapons, out of bombs, out of everything. Israel cannot finish the conflict. It's not in the Bible. Benjamin Netanyahu, the objective for Benjamin Netanyahu is his duties are to finish the regional war in Psalm 83. That is what God has given him to do. Yeah, there is a plan by this president to stop and break the allegiance between Iran and the British out of the city of London and Britain, Great Britain. They have been working together. Iran and the British have been working together. The British have always been involved in one way or the other in the Middle East, in Syria, or even in Saudi Arabia. But they have been hiding the money of the mullahs, of the powerful people in Iran for 50 years. Khamenei, the boy that has just taken over, his money is being protected by the British. in the city in London and on some off some islands. And Donald Trump's war is not so much with Iran as it is with the supporters that have been working with Britain in Iran. So Donald Trump and the world doesn't quite understand the whole of the matter. You can't understand what is really happening unless you know what the prophets of Israel had stated about this conflict. Israel is not going to completely destroy the power structure. It's not going to be a regime change, as everybody is screaming here in the media in America. It's not going to be a regime change. There's going to be a change, all right, and the next power structure is going to be even more aligned with Russia, with Turkey. The present Khomeini, the father, he wasn't so much in alignment with Turkey or Saudi Arabia or some of the other nations in the vicinity. The individual that is going to basically help this alliance come together and be part of this new alliance from the north and the south, Israel is going to be sandwiched between, and they think their power in Ezekiel 38 is going to be, we sandwich Israel in, we move into the nation of Jordan, from there we control everything that happens in the Middle East, toward the ocean, toward the Mediterranean, America's involvement. This is the plan. It's in the scripture. But Benjamin Netanyahu has been given a specific duty to not to bring the kingdom of David into the present world. That is part of the plan of the priests and the prophets and of the leaders in the society of Israel, is to fulfill the prophecies that were given to King David and Solomon, setting up a Davidic kingdom. That is what they're trying to do. It will not happen. It cannot happen. Prophecy says it will not. They are not going to be allowed. Netanyahu, the rabbis, the government, the people of Israel are not going to be allowed to further a plan to bring in the Davidic kingdom. They're not going to be allowed to do that. Christ himself is coming to set up his kingdom. And to set up his kingdom, he is going to walk to the east side of the temple area where the gate is closed. And in Psalm 25, at the end of the chapter, it's a short chapter, it's specifically targeting the time of Messiah's return. As he walks by the gate, he is waiting for Israel to open the gate, to allow their king to come through that gate. So he's saying, open up the gates that your king may come through. That will be one of the final things that the Jewish people will do in the Temple Mount area. They will open up that gate so Christ will be able to come through that gate and be anointed king of the nations. So trying to get through verse 8 into verse 9, but I can't leave this side of the Jordan River as a type to cross the river until you understand and can see clearly what is on this side of the river. Psalm 83, the Jordan must be become property of Israel. Damascus must be destroyed. The war must be concluded. Then there will be the setting set for the great war, the Gog War, which will be the major, the next conflict in the Middle East. Will America have forces in the Middle East when Ezekiel 38:39 is finished? Yes, they will. Donald Trump, and for the Christian people, if you don't know the scripture, you're not going to understand what's happening. American forces have to be in the area. During the Obama administration, the plan was to put triple the forces that eventually were in the Middle East into the area, surrounding area, and Israel has been the main target. It will continue to be the main target. Eventually, the Gentiles will basically take over the nation of Israel. And the coming beast, the man of sin, will sign an agreement with Israel that begins the final 7-year period. Also, what he will do is he will eventually, I think it is in verse, let me see, verse 15, in Matthew 24:15, this is a story there beginning in verse 15 where this individual that signs the initial agreement goes to Jerusalem and declares himself to be God. He breaks the agreement, will declare himself to be God, and set up a avatar, a living, talking, moving avatar in the temple, which will be considered to be an abomination. If I remember correctly, it's going to be there for the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Everybody that is ordained to eternal fire will accept the mark. Now, when the Ezekiel war is concluded, then we will be right at the point where we will be the world will be able to take its first step into the Jordan River and begin to cross over. It'll be right at that time after Russia and armies are destroyed. The agreement will be signed. So, from now until then, with these programs, these are to tell you what's coming, explain to you as clearly as possible what to expect. Now, on the positive side, the kingdom of heaven is going to expand. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom with power. It is not it's a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. It is a kingdom that expands. It grows like a mountain. As it grows, it begins to shatter everything in its path, whether it be all the evil in the world. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be hardship internationally. We are going to also suffer. But because of the power that God has given his children, this is the time when for the members in the body of Christ, for the Christian people who are truly born again, for those that keep Christ at a distance, you will have a hard time, a difficult time. You will have a fearful time. If you do not trust the Lord, if you have a reason why you're afraid to allow the Lord to visit with you and help you and help you with whatever whatever it is that has prejudiced you against him. Whether I have people that something would happen, they would lose a son, they would have a calamity, and they would immediately blame the Lord where they didn't see clearly. It wasn't Christ. There's an enemy. There's a devil. There is an adversary. There is one who has powerful forces working for him that cause you to lose a good job, lose everything you have. Go read the book of Job. That lose children, a wife. Go read the book of Job. In these times, you have to remain pure, holy. Don't curse God. Depend on him. Lean on him. Make your requests. But many feel they've been betrayed by the Lord. They've done things that they're ashamed of. Well, you have the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood washes you from all sin. Also, in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now, today, this minute, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You, there should not be any condemnation, but you have to pray that God gives you the reality of that verse and the reality of the verse that says that trust of the Lord casts out all fear. Sorry, I stated that incorrectly. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you can realize, which Satan doesn't want you to realize, the great depth of the love that God has for every one of his children, when you realize the great love that God has for you every day, you get up, you're alive, you get through the day, though it may be difficult, the Lord loves you with great love, and great love casts out all fear. There should be no fear of Christ. There should be fear of not leaning on him. So this matter of going, transitioning from Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 to verse 9 is a very massive, I barely begun to touch what's going to happen at the end of the time of sorrows and birth pains. There's too much to even begin to visit with you here this late in the hour. So this is, again, my programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. Again, I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. And my contact information is Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And again, this program is the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. Okay, well, I'm pretty much finished. In the next few programs, I'm going to visit with you about the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. They are not what you have been taught. They are completely, completely different. These witnesses are born again. They're not Israel. They are Jewish born again plus Gentile born again believers. They are not the righteous rabbis of Israel. They're not Moses. They're not Elijah. They're not John the Baptist. We, in the body of Christ, we are the witnesses for the time in which we live. God bless you. God bless you in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. God protect you and keep you, and I'll visit with you again. God bless you.